Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Where does the threat of authoritarianism come from? If you believe the corporate media, welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. If you believe the corporate Democrat media, you would think that it must have been Trump for 4 years, right? We were always being lectured about how Trump was scary. He was a totalitarian. He was going to overthrow the government, override the Constitution, all this stuff. You heard all that. It wasn't true. As you know, the apparatus was used against him. He was supposed to, as the elected president of the United States, be able to trust in the federal government to enact, as long as his will is constitutional and expressed lawfully, to enact his will. But instead, they tried to subvert him. The Russia collusion nonsense that Clay and I have been talking to you about, all of that, an effort at what could be called the soft coup from inside the apparatus itself. The elites and the apparatus of control were never on Trump's side. He was in opposition to it, which is why they hated him so much. Where are you likely to see more authoritarianism when 95% of media and communications are against the regime? No, it's actually when 95% of the media are with the regime. That's what authoritarianism looks like. Now, I'm just laying this out because there was recently a discussion over on PBS with Margaret Hoover hosting, and she asked the very famous Chinese dissident Ai Weiwei about whether, and this is a classic, you know, Margaret is doing what Democrats want to hear, which is the, oh, isn't Trump an authoritarian? Let's talk about authoritarian Trumpism. And Ai Weiwei, who, if you don't know, is a longstanding Chinese dissident. To be a dissident in China means to risk torture, imprisonment, execution, the torture of your family, etc. I mean, that's real dissident stuff, right? In this country, we have Brian Stelter thinking if he has to wait an extra 10 minutes for the croissant before he goes on CNN, he's a hero. But in reality, the journos here are all opposed to people like Trump, and they all work together, and they all get richer and more famous for lying to you about things. Anyway, here's Ai Weiwei, a true dissident, when asked, is Trump the and Trumpism and the right in this country, are they the authoritarian threat? You really, it's a little, not super easy to understand, so listen closely, but this is what he says.
Do you see Donald Trump as an authoritarian?
If you're authoritarian, you have to have a system in supporting you. You cannot just be authoritarian by yourself. But certainly in United States, with today's condition, you can easily have an authoritarian. In many ways, you're already in the authoritarian state. You just don't know it.
How so?
Many things happen today in U.S. can be compared to Cultural Revolution in China.
Like what?
Like people trying to be unified in certain political correctness. That is very dangerous.
Clay, can I just for everyone here, you have to have the system supporting you to be an authoritarian. Already in an authoritarian state here in America right now, the Cultural Revolution is what he's comparing this to, the Maoist Cultural Revolution and political correctness. He's saying the threat comes from the left.
Of course it does. And this is why so many dissidents in China were such massive supporters of Donald Trump. I mean, massively they supported Trump because he was standing up to China more than we have ever seen America stand up to China before. And because they knew, and this is also why the Venezuelans and the Cubans, why they turned out in such massive numbers to support Donald Trump in 2020. It wasn't because they thought he was a perfect leader. It was because they understood, having seen what true totalitarianism can be, what authoritarianism is, it is when you have a leader who is supported almost by the totality of the media. And that was why all of the criticisms of Donald Trump as a dictator rang so hollow for me, because I'm not sure there has ever been a president more criticized by the media than Donald Trump. In fact, certainly it hasn't happened in my life. And if you look now at, just use COVID as an example. What did Trump do with COVID? He mostly deferred to the mayors and the governors of states and let them look at the local numbers in their locations and make the decision that was best for their state, even when sometimes that led to draconian overreach in New York and California, for instance. Look at what Joe Biden has done. Joe Biden, in other words, Trump embraced federalism, probably too much for many people out there listening in the early days of COVID. He allowed local jurisdictions and local states to make their own determinations about safety during COVID. Look at what Biden has done. He has shown up in office and immediately implemented the largest federal overreach in history that I can think of with this vaccine mandate. Now, thankfully, the Fifth Circuit slapped it down aggressively on Friday over the weekend. But all of the arguments that Trump was a dictator, an authoritarian, a totalitarian were laughable on their face based on what this dissident is laying out. And look at what is going on right now with Joe Biden and how the media is cheering his usurpation of local power and local authority. And that's why right now this vaccine mandate spells such a massive legal challenge. Is the Supreme Court? Are these circuit court judges, are they going to be as brave as the Fifth Circuit has been so far and slap down the Biden administration? Because if they're not, that's the real danger of authoritarianism.
It's amazing that the journos out there really think of themselves as democracy's firefighters, yes, when really they're the arsonists in so many ways. They, in this Rittenhouse case, have lied relentlessly, and as we now see, remorselessly, too. They don't care. Joe Scarborough goes on national TV and says numerous, provably, demonstrably false and stupid things. He does not care. He is telling the people watching MSNBC what they want to hear, and this is all about my team, their team. What's interesting, though, in the context of authoritarianism is the Democrat team can call upon 95% of media, maybe you could say 90% if you want to give a little bit of a different estimate, to support their cause. I mean, I know something about truly authoritarian states, Clay, having had to study and then spend time in places like, you know, Iraq, where I can assure everybody, all of the people with access to newspapers and, you know, all the people with access to communications in Iraq were in support of the regime. They were not in opposition to the regime. Yeah. Authoritarianism happens when the elites, when the media, when academia, when journalists go along with the people in power. That's actually how it happens. And that's why this whole notion that the threat of authoritarianism on the right exists is just them accusing us of what they're doing, which is a constant tactic.
And it also is, to your point on the journalist, they think they're being brave by carrying water for the biggest companies in America, for the biggest industries in America, for all of these people out there. When have you ever seen this is why the protests are so funny to me. When have you ever seen a rebellion in favor of everybody in positions of power? Because that's really what woke protests are. You're protesting the overwhelming might of your political authority. You are protesting the group woke capitalism when every place that you've ever bought anything for sent you out an email letting you know that they were standing in solidarity with BLM in May and June of last year. The brave thing to do was not to be standing up in favor of woke capitalism. It was to be taking a step back and saying, wait a minute, what's going on here? And this, by the way, Buck, is why our audience is exploding on this show. Because your point on Joe Scarborough, to me, the only thing we have to sell ultimately, Buck, to our audience, the only thing we have to share is trust. When you get facts wrong, you are telling to your audience, I don't respect you. And that's what Joe Scarborough does. That's what MSNBC and CNN actually do. Speaking of respect, we respect the work that Tunnel to Towers is doing to make the holidays brighter for our nation's Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young kids, and also for catastrophically injured veterans and first responders. For many of these families, holidays are a tough reminder of the sacrifices their heroes made for all of us. The foundation is giving away a home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve during its season of hope. With each mortgage-free home, Tunnels to Towers is delivering on its promise to do good and never forget. Buck, how can people out there help? all of these families with so much need as the holiday season arrives.
Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. Remember, all of this is possible because of your generosity. Support America's greatest heroes and their families. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org.
Welcome in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, hour number two, Tuesday edition. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We are joined now by Jedediah Bila. She just had a real run-in with the hosts on The View. And Jedediah, I appreciate you coming on with us, and also appreciate all the advocacy you have been as a voice for sanity with all the parents out there trying to determine what to do with their kids as the COVID madness has run wild. Thanks for joining us, and kind of take us through what happened with The View.
Yeah, thank you both for having me. I just got off about an hour ago, essentially went on to discuss my new book, Dear Hartley, and to discuss the topic of vaccine mandates, which, as we all know, Disney has a mandate in place. I was supposed to co-host there. Today would have been my second day, was supposed to do another day tomorrow, couldn't do that because of the mandates that were in place. And because I didn't get the vaccine myself, I have a medical exemption to the vaccine. I also have sky high natural immunity that everyone who's sane knows is actually something that does exist, backed by my physician. So I couldn't be there. So I did the segment remotely, and it got heated, to say the least. And essentially I got shut down for their claim was that I was providing misinformation to the public, when in fact what I was really doing was citing the CDC's own webpage that says that this is a vaccine that does not prevent you from transmitting infection. So how do you justify a mandate if someone who's vaccinated and someone who's unvaccinated can both get COVID and transmit COVID? We all know that this is not founded in science or health, that this is all about politics. So I was citing that. I was citing the CDC director, not to say that I'm a big fan of the CDC, because a lot of what they've done has been about politics and not science themselves. But I cited those things and was somehow labeled as misinforming the public. So that's
we're going to play that audio for everybody out there right now. This is you a little over an hour ago on The View. Let's play cut 24 as they try to shut you down.
To the vaccine,
I am opposed to the mandate
762,000 people have died from COVID, including Manny's in-laws. And we've been friends a long time, but Manny's parents, I just don't understand why you would choose to prioritize your personal freedom over health and safety of others.
So
and don't think that we should allow this kind of misinformation
on our website.
We've had the United States Surgeon General debunk.
Yes, I heard what he said.
Everything that you've just said, and I just don't think we should allow this kind of misinformation
on
our air. I'm really sorry, Sunny, first of all,
I would say to you as a friend, what I just said to you is I am prioritizing my health, and people talk about the common
good. Over the health and safety
of other
people.
You're not going to have a common good if you're not prioritizing your own health. You have a Surgeon General.
This should sound very familiar to you, Jed. This should sound very familiar to you. We got to go to break.
Jedediah, it's Buck. You know, Clay and I, we heard this before you came on, and you know, you and I have known each other a long time. You're a very, very gracious person in this business. I know you used to co-host The View, and I just got it. They're so out of line. I mean, they're wrong and rude. So I give you credit for trying to handle it. But what were you trying to say to them that they refused to let you say?
Yeah, well, I mean, people come at this from an emotional place, and I understand that. We know we've seen a lot of hardship this past year. People lost loved ones. People themselves got sick. People lost businesses as a result of these lockdowns. People lost income because they had to stay home and homeschool their kids and figure out what to do because schools were shut down well beyond the point where they should have been. So many people have suffered in many different ways. What I was simply trying to say was that these mandates don't make any sense. They're not scientific because, once again, you can get the virus, you can transmit the virus if you've had the vaccine or if you're unvaccinated. It's the same thing. So why is there a separate set of rules? You see breakthrough cases happening, hundreds of thousands of breakthrough cases all around the country with vaccinated people getting sick. And now you just saw Fauci come out and say, oh, well, you know what? They're also landing in the hospital, and deaths are higher than we thought, too. So let's go get another booster. I mean, people are looking at what, are they going to get a booster every 3 months for this thing? So I was just trying to bring some sanity and understand, yes, of course, people suffered, but that still doesn't change the reality of the science underlying all of this. I mean, we looked at the CDC, and it's become a joke. I mean, it's a clown show over there. They drafted their school guidelines and when kids should return to school with the teachers' unions. I mean, people need to wake up. So I was simply saying, this shouldn't be an emotional argument. We have to talk about natural immunity. There is so much of the population, Buck. I mean, you look at nurses, doctors who were in the trenches helping sick people while some of us, myself included, had the privilege of sitting at home and festering in my own fear at the time, which was absurd and went on for me even way too long because I was looking at all this.
Yeah, Jedediah, can I just jump in really quick to say to everybody again, you and I have known each other for over a decade now. And in the beginning of this, I remember we were talking and, you know, you were willing to listen to the experts, so to speak. And I think that you're like a lot of people out there who has come through this from the prism of they keep being wrong, they keep lying, and they're shutting down legitimate questions and legitimate lines of inquiry. So you've lost trust.
That's exactly right. And people say to me, well, you worked from home. That's right. When I first got, you know, as you know, I got COVID, my husband got it. My son was exposed right at the start of this whole pandemic. There were no answers. You couldn't get a COVID test. You couldn't get into a doctor's office. You were told to stay home, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. There was a lot of confusion as to how severe this was going to be. We didn't have the stats on with COVID deaths versus from COVID. The problem I have is not that people at the start were confused and were saying, well, maybe we do need to shut down for 3 weeks. I don't know. That was, I can understand. And I believe me, I take ownership that I hung on to that way too long because then I started to worry about my parents. Bottom line, I bought the story for too long. But at some point, wake up, look at the statistics, look at what's happening with people who are dying from COVID versus with COVID. Look at what's happening to kids. I mean, you're going to talk about an emergency use of a vaccination when there's a 99.997% plus survival rate. Something is not adding up. And, you know, they mentioned the Surgeon General. The Surgeon General went on the View and said, oh, natural immunity. See, we don't know the exact numerical value for that, so we have to discredit the whole thing. Had I been at the table that day, I would have said, do you know the exact numerical value for vaccinated people? Do you know what that looks like? Because you're assuming that vaccinated people are safer to be around, and we're seeing breakthrough cases around the country. Guess what? I have natural immunity. It's sky high. It's been tested at multiple levels. I'm not going to get into my blood work, but believe me, I have some of the best infectious disease doctors in New York City that have come to me and said, we're not worried about you. So that has been tested. For them to deny that, that is not following the science. And I'm tired of people losing their jobs. I'm tired of people not being able to work. I'm tired of people having to say, well, I'm not going to follow the medical advice from my doctor because there are legitimate people with medical exemptions in this country, and they have to risk not being able to put food on the table for their families. Why? So that Bill de Blasio can get some sort of political or financial payout down the road? It's preposterous.
We agree with a lot of what you're saying, Jedediah. That's not a surprise. And by the way, for people out there who wonder why this show is growing so much, you can compare and contrast the conversation we're having with you with the conversation they had on The View, where they basically shut you down and didn't allow you to discuss anything. We have natural immunity on this show. My wife and I have both had it. We've tested positive and recovered from it. And I'm not vaccinated for the same reason you are, which is because I still have natural immunity, which is shown in the Israeli data to be more powerful than vaccinated immunity. Now, I do want to ask you this, though. You know what's, and I give you credit for going on The View and trying to talk some sense into them. You know how, unfortunately, it's going to play in the media. And by the way, I want everybody out there listening to know exactly what's going to happen. They are going to attack you, Jedediah, as a crazy anti-vax lunatic. That's the way the mainstream media is going to react. That's what they've done to Buck and I and everybody else. Are you prepared for that attack? And again, I give you credit for being willing to go on and even get shouted down on that show in order to share important facts and truth with an audience that may not have very much experience with either of those things right now.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I don't really care how the media portrays it. I mean, because what I'm saying right now is grounded in science, is grounded in health, and is grounded in facts. And I went so far as to tell them, you know, I'm not anti-vax. What does that even mean? What I am for is empowering individuals to
to make these decisions for themselves. Talk to your doctor, talk to your trusted doctor, talk to your family, think about your own risk assessment. I mean, the idea that we're not acknowledging that someone who's 80 years old with comorbidities is a very different case than someone who's 20 years old with no comorbidities, that's not the same thing when it comes to this new vaccine. It's brand new. There are clinical trials that don't even exist for large segments of the population with pre-existing conditions. That's a fact that they admit to. Of course, the CDC will say, oh, sure, just get it anyway. But the fine print is we don't actually know what this is going to do to you. So people must be empowered to make these decisions for themselves. That should not be controversial in the land of the free. And my child has received other childhood vaccinations. I did that risk assessment for myself. When the vaccine for COVID-19 came out, my parents decided that they wanted to get vaccinated. They consulted with their doctors. I fully supported them in that decision for them. And I made those appointments for them. I drove them to those appointments. I am not here to tell anyone what to do. I am not here to play doctor. The people who are here to play doctor are the ones who are saying everyone should get this vaccine in order to be able to work, regardless of what your doctor is saying, regardless of your medical history, regardless of the fact that you had this virus and the silver lining for you was that you came out with this natural immunity that's verifiable. You should do what I'm telling you to do because I'm afraid. That is not science. That is emotion-driven nonsense. And at some point, if you fell into that like I did initially, you have to own up and say this doesn't make sense. This is not what is showing up on paper. So that's where I stand. And I don't really care, to be honest. I mean, listen, Buck knows me for a long time. I say what I feel. I try to ground myself in facts. I take a lot of heat for it from time to time. But the reality is that facts matter, particularly when you're talking about this. You are talking about people's health. I have a little baby. I have a two-year-old. He was exposed to COVID. I am not going to be manipulated by politicians or political pundits into what I should do for the well-being of my child. I am going to consult with his pediatrician, who I trust. I'm going to make decisions based on the fact that he was exposed to COVID-19. And people need to leave me alone at the end of the day. Worry about yourself, worry about your family, and let me worry about mine.
Well, Jedediah, I'd give you a standing ovation, but I didn't want the clapping to interrupt what you were saying.
Her memoir, there's a lot folks, of moms out there right now that are like, preach. I think this is where
Jedediah
so much
like
of
Mom
the energy
Brigade
is
Special
from.
Forces, Clay. You know, that's,
yeah.
that's the...
Can I also just say, guys, before I got into television, I taught in schools. We now know that COVID-19 is more dangerous for kids, for children, than the flu. I taught through 6 flu seasons. There was never a mention of a mandate for the flu shot not. On kids. There was never social distancing. There were never masks. So people really need to think about that in light of children. It's a very different conversation, like I said, for adults. But this is a very different conversation depending upon the person. There is no one-size-fits-all approach. And we know that because we know people with comorbidities, people of different ages have been affected differently. So why are we creating blanket policy? It doesn't make sense. So if people are willing to have the likes of Dr. Fauci or Bill de Blasio or Gavin Newsom decide for them what their health for the next 2 or 3 years looks like while these clinical trials are being done, we don't even have all the information yet, then you know what? You want to make that decision, that's fine by you. That is not fine by me. And there's a lot of people in this country who are very uncomfortable with that, and they see the game. So see the game or be played by the game.
The memoir is Dear Hartley. The author is Jedediah Bila. Jedediah, great having you on. Come back soon, and best of luck with the memoir.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Hartley does too.
Thanks so much. What protects the value of your savings account or your IRA in a time when inflation is rearing its ugly head and here for the foreseeable future? The answer is gold. That precious metal has stood the test of time as being a reliable and smart way to protect the value of your hard-earned savings account. And today you can buy gold and take physical possession of it, hold it in your hands, and store it away safely in a secure place. It's what I've done with the help of the Oxford Gold Group. The team there shipped gold to my home, and aside from having to sign for it when it arrived, it was as easy as any other delivery I've taken. Now, when I open my safe, I can see gold and immediately be reminded of its value, knowing it's not going to shrink like the value of the dollar. Buying real gold is not complicated. Call my friends at the Oxford Gold Group now. You can have real gold delivered to your home or have real gold as part of your IRA. It's just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Ooh.
We got another media lie to dissect with you for a couple of moments here. It's not a new one, but it is now, welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. It's now one that there can be no doubt about. Remember back when there was the illegal migrant crisis at our southern border with Haitian migrants, thousands and thousands of them gathered together on the U.S., or really at the Texas-Mexico border, U.S.-Mexico border, and they were all gathered together, and there was that moment in time for about a day or two when the Biden administration was running around pretending like something horrible had happened because they said Border Patrol agents on horseback were, quote, whipping the migrants. And then there were even members of Congress, lunatic Democrats, of course, running around talking about how this was imagery that brought them back, brought people back to the history of slavery in this country, saying just the most absurd and crazy things because nobody was whipping anybody, trying to whip anybody. You had mounted Border Patrol because guess what? If you're going to be doing your job in this area, I've spent a good amount of time down at the border. There's rough terrain. You can't just drive around in a Prius. Sometimes you got to be on horseback. And they had split reins they were using, and that's it. So they had reins in their hands, and they were moving the horses, maneuvering the horses around. Clay, the reason I'm talking about this today is because even Biden's DHS Inspector General has declined. Remember when they said at the top, oh, we're going to look into this. We're going to investigate this.
They banned horses at that area. Remember, they wouldn't let them ride the horses.
They banned the horses. Yes.
Yes.
This was all a lie. It was hysteria and a lie. Even the photographer who took the photos. But it was a good way to slander Border Patrol and distract from the crisis. And so they went along with it as long as they could.
Not only went along with it, spread it. Joe Biden spread it from the White House. Kamala Harris spread it. They all tried to distract. They wanted the narrative to be, oh, look how horribly racist our Border Patrol is. How dare they be on horseback trying to corral any of these people breaking the law? And when the story comes out, it'll be just another example of something that gets memory hold. We're already seeing it happen with Russia collusion, Steele dossier, Hunter Biden's laptop, DHS, horse whippings, all of these stories. They become front page news. They get all the attention. And as soon as they disappear and become untrue, we don't get any sort of acknowledgement. They just vanish.
And this is yet another one, right? We had the list yesterday. The list is long.
Yes.
And it keeps growing longer. And anyone who thinks that the media does any introspection over this doesn't understand. They're not trying to get the story right, folks. They are trying to support the Democrat apparatus control of you. And the storyline. That's it.
No doubt. True or false, by the way, big tech's more powerful than many countries. One way they profit from the power is by exploiting your personal data. You don't have to participate in that. You can choose to put a layer of protection between your online activity and these tech juggernauts. You can do that with a company providing you a virtual private network, a VPN. We use ExpressVPN. When you use ExpressVPN on your device, the software hides your IP address, which is what big tech uses to personally identify you. ExpressVPN makes your activity harder to trace and sell to advertisers. Also encrypts 100% of your internet data to keep you safe from hackers on the same Wi-Fi network you're on. Easy to use. Tap one button and download it on your app or computer, and it's ready to go. How do you get signed up? Visit expressvpn.com/clay today. That's expressvpn.com/clay to get 3 extra months for free. One more time, let me tell you how to get hooked up here with protecting yourself in the online space. expressvpn.com/clay. Head there right now to learn more.
Welcome, everybody, to the third hour of the Clay and Buck Show. Thanks for being here with us. 800-282-2882. That's the phone line. If you want to call, please let us chat with you there. We got Senator Rand Paul from the great state of Kentucky with us now. Senator Paul, thanks for being here.
Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
What are we supposed to make, Senator, what are we supposed to make of the recent words of Dr. Anthony Fauci that now boosters for all adults, not just those at high risk, not just those with compromised immune systems, are going to be necessary. And oh, by the way, we're hearing from the CDC that there are concerns about a major spike after Thanksgiving COVID cases. I thought that the Fauciites had this under control, or so they told us.
You know, I would discount anything he says because he hasn't been honest with the American people. He's not considering the science at all. Over 100 million Americans have had COVID and have immunity. They won't release any of the data. The people have had COVID. Are they getting it again? What numbers are getting it again? Are they spreading it? Are people going to the hospital who have had the disease in the past? Is the vaccine safe for people who have already had the disease? Frankly, there is some element of myocarditis in teenage boys. It's small, but is it higher in those who have already had COVID? Is anybody asking people when they take their kids in, have you had COVID? When did they have it? I think this is irresponsible medicine, and Fauci and anything he says should be completely discounted. I think that he's actually a danger to public health in many ways. Because he's discounted natural immunity, he says everyone should be vaccinated. So countries like India, where there's not enough vaccine for the people, what he's done is he's delayed getting the vaccine to the elderly who are at high risk by vaccinating everyone equally. By telling us cloth masks work when they don't work, he's putting you at risk. If you have an 80-year-old person taking care of their spouse who has COVID and they wear a cloth mask instead of an N95 mask, you're actually telling them to do something that risks their health. So he's been wrong on every front, and he should be completely discounted.
Dr. Paul, the newest battleground, this is Clay, I appreciate you coming on. The newest battleground is certainly going to be vaccinating children. I've got a 7-year-old, I've got an 11-year-old. I've said on the show I'm not going to get them vaccinated because the medical data, I think 94 kids between the ages of 5 and 11 out of 28 million have died with COVID. They're under more statistical danger from the seasonal flu. I understand individual parents can make their own decisions. I believe your children are outside of that age range now. What would you be doing if you had kids ages 5 to 11 right now when it comes to vaccinating your own children if you had to make that choice?
You know, it would be individualized. It would depend on their history, their medical history, their illness history, et cetera. But all things being equal, if the children didn't have any special problems, I wouldn't vaccinate them. And I think what you're going to find is there's going to be a mass exodus from schools. There's going to be a growth in homeschooling, a growth in private schooling. There has been in the last year because people refused to show up to teach their kids in person. But now it's going to be even more. The other thing is what they're not telling us is, what are the risks of vaccinating someone who's already had COVID? We do know that you get 1,000 times greater response if you've already had COVID. Now, if you're 80 years old, that might be a good idea to get a really strong immune response, and it may protect you. But if you're a 15-year-old kid and you get 1,000 times greater response because you've already had COVID, could that be part of the autoimmune disorder that is myocarditis? So there are a lot of unknowns, and I think they have not really had samples large enough, nor have they even separated it out. They don't even bother to separate out people who have had COVID. In fact, if your child has already had COVID, they won't put them in the studies for the vaccine because they know they've already got immunity. So they actually tacitly admit that your child has immunity because they can't put them in the study. But if you don't put kids in the study that have already had COVID and you don't factor it in as a factor, we don't know if it's actually safe for kids who have already had COVID to be vaccinated.
We're speaking to Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. Senator, the numbers about breakthrough cases seem to be a little bit hard to find, and if nothing else, they're certainly not being talked about regularly in most of the places that are you know, news organizations. We also don't seem to have very reliable numbers on hospitalizations of those who are fully vaccinated, although fully vaccinated is changing. Are you able to get more insight as a member of the United States Senate into that? I mean, do we know how many people are having breakthrough cases and where they're occurring?
Not necessarily from the government, because the government tries to obscure the truth, because the government wants you to do as you're told. They want you to submit to the will of the central authorities. They don't really care about you individually. They're looking at the beehive, and they've decided vaccination's the easiest way to go. Don't worry about whether you've already had it. Don't worry about immunity. Don't worry about side effects. Just do as you're told. But there are some certain things that we have learned. In the last couple of weeks, Lancet had an article that said if an infected person comes into your household, whether they've been unvaccinated and infected or vaccinated and infected, they spread the disease about the same. So all of this hogwash about, oh, we need to put the unvaccinated people in concentration camps, we need to not let them have the normal freedoms of travel and this and that because they're a danger, they're no more danger than a vaccinated person. Now, the one thing we do know, and people started saying this, that your private health is improved by being vaccinated. I do agree with that. I think that you're less likely to die, less likely to be hospitalized if you're vaccinated. But we don't have evidence that it's actually stopping the spread of the disease. What we're finding is that both vaccinated and unvaccinated can get it and can spread it equally. So I think what we need to do is try to give people the persuasive knowledge that if you are at risk, the vaccine can reduce your risk for being hospitalized or dying. But we also need to acknowledge if you've already had it, you probably have as much or better immunity now than the vaccine provides.
Senator Paul, do you hope, I'm sure you've read the Fifth Circuit's opinion striking at the heart of the OSHA requirement from Joe Biden. Do you hope that other courts also strike down this vaccine mandate? And as a bigger picture here, if Joe Biden tried to get congressional authority for his vaccine mandate, not only, I would imagine, would this fail, but I think it would fail pretty overwhelmingly, which is why he's using OSHA, a federal regulatory agency, as opposed to interacting in any way with another branch of the government. How would you analyze this? I know you're not a lawyer, but you are a medical doctor. What did you think of the Fifth Circuit opinion? Do you think other courts will have the same bravery that they did?
My hope is that it gets expedited hearing before the Supreme Court. I'd love to see this heard before the mandate goes into place. We heard a couple things at the Republican lunch today. One of the things is they're asking the different agencies like Department of Labor, Health and Human Services, these enormous government bureaucracies, how many vaccinated and unvaccinated they have in their midst of their millions of employees. They don't know. The government, they want small business to do this, to police, to be the vaccine police. The government doesn't know how many people are vaccinated or unvaccinated. They say they can't do it in time. So even the mandate on federal government, the government can't adhere to it, and they want private business to. We are also circulating a petition that is going to have a privileged vote to overturn the mandate. So there will be a vote in the Senate and in the House. It's a privileged vote, and this is to overturn the regulation at OSHA. We have 48 Republicans in the Senate signed on. So all but two Republicans have signed on to overturn this mandate.
Who are the two Republicans that have not signed on to overturn the mandate?
I don't know who that is yet. So let your staff let us know
because we will let our audience know for sure. And what's the impact? Sorry to cut you off on that, but what's the impact of that kind of vote? I'm not familiar with the procedural posture there.
The interesting thing will happen is, are there any Democrats that are going to vote against the mandate? Small businesses, employers. I mean, my sister's a doctor in Houston. She says that up to 50% of the nurses and doctors she knows around are not vaccinated. The hospitals will shut down. And so there's going to be great problems. There's going to be problems with air traffic controllers. There's going to be problems with pilots. There's going to be problems with police and fire. You talk about disrupting society. Even if it's only 25% of each of these essential services, if they don't show up. But if it passes, it has to be signed by the president. So Biden's unlikely to sign a disapproval of his own regulation. But if it passes, it'll be an amazing rebuke that he has to actually veto the will of Congress. So we'll see what happens. If we got
we have to get
a few Democrats on board to vote. We have to get all the Republicans. We had two more Republicans. But we also have to see if any, I think the mood of the country is such that there may be a few Democrats that are going to have to think long and hard about this.
Senator Paul, the infrastructure bill just got signed by Biden yesterday. The Build Back Better agenda, Nancy Pelosi, as of today on the House side, is saying they're going to get that passed before the Thanksgiving break. What do you think is going to end up being, you know, the most important takeaway, assuming that that does get through? I know the Senate's going to have to reconcile their a version of it with the House side. But if Biden ends up assigning a BBB, how bad will it be for, I don't want this to rhyme, but it will, the economy?
We have 6% inflation right now from all the borrowing and spending of last year. We're going to borrow as much or more if this passes. We're going to borrow dramatically more this year. That means you're going to have higher inflation next year. Inflation is not complicated. When you go to the grocery store, you go to the gas pump, the prices are up because we're printing up money to buy our debt. The Federal Reserve buys our debt, but they buy it with money that's created out of thin air. What happens then is prices rise. So this is sort of the bait and switch. People who want your vote, they promise you free things, free college, free health care, free school, free cell phones. It's not free. You're going to pay for it through the insidious tax of inflation, and we're going to get more of it. If this passes, we'll have added more debt in 2 years than we've ever had it in the history of our country, and the ramifications, the repercussions of this, I think, cannot be overstated.
Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, sir, we always appreciate you stopping by with Clay and Buck here. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Those faithful, loving dogs and cats in our homes are members of the family. We want them happy and healthy. We want them around for a long time. That's why we shouldn't be feeding them the dry kibble you find on the shelves of supermarkets without anything else. That food is supposed to be long shelf life stuff, months and months, maybe years. And a lot of the things you need in that process is gotten rid of because of the sterilization they do to dog food. So you need to add that good stuff back in. Probiotics, enzymes, vitamins, omega oils, antioxidants, and healthy microbacteria. That's why you need Ruff Greens. R-U-F-F Greens, Ruff Greens. It's not a dog food. It's a healthy supplement for dogs that you put into their food. You take all the live nutrients necessary for superior dog health, and you get to put it in every meal when you just add Ruff Greens. Ruff Greens will make your dog healthier by making your dog's food better. What you get is a happier and healthier dog, just like Tallulah, the Sexton family Frenchie. And this is from a listener in Louisiana, Lindsay. She wrote in, my 12-year-old Yorkie loves the taste of Ruff Greens. It's only been a couple of weeks. Already noticed a little more pep in her step. The folks at Ruff Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it. They have a special deal for you, the listeners to this program. Go to roughgreens.com. That's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB. And they're going to give you the first bag free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/EIB.